Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Listen, before we start, I think you've got an announcement you want to make.
Yeah, we're doing our first annual InfoPoem CME course on November 8th through 11th in Las Vegas. This course is going to be fast-paced and interactive and a lot of fun, and it's going to feature the top poems of the past couple of years. We have a terrific group of faculty, fellow poet Henry Berry from Michigan State University, Rick Bucata from UCLA, Greg Vandekieft, Nate Link from NYU, and then, of course, both of us will be there teaching as well. The course is 20 hours of CME credit. It's totally pharma-free, and your afternoons are free to enjoy Vegas. You know, we are trying to do this in a way that really makes the most of your time. We're going to be starting off Thursday evening with a few hours of work and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings. To learn more, you can go to www.infopoemscourse.com, and sure hope you can join us there.
Good. Another week for poems here. Today we're going to talk about folate. A little background on folate, going back to 1931, Lucy Wills identified folate as the nutrient needed to prevent anemia in pregnancy. Now, folate is necessary, as we know, for the production and maintenance of new cells. It's important, particularly during periods of rapid cell division and particularly in the development of red blood cells. It is found in liver. If you're the kind of person that doesn't do organs, doesn't eat organs, it's also found in leafy vegetables such as spinach, turnips, dried beans, peas. Some breakfast cereals are fortified. There's a fairly controversial debate, mostly in Europe, but some places in the United States, about whether we should be fortifying foods with folate. Experts claim that folate decreases the number of babies with spinal problems, such as spinal bifida. Other experts believe that folate might be involved in the prevention of a number of diseases like heart disease and stroke, and maybe colorectal adenomas, although this is not proven. That's why Mark today helps us to answer the question, does folic acid supplementation reduce the risk of colorectal cancer in adults? Mark, what did the authors find?
Well, you're right. There have been some suggestive studies, people looking at biochemistry of folates and disease-oriented evidence, suggesting maybe there's a protective effect in the large intestine. There have been some observational studies that patients who have higher folic acid intake have less colon cancer. So what these folks did was they identified over 1,000 adults who had a recent history of adenoma, colorectal adenoma, but no known colon cancer. And then they randomized them to get 1 milligram per day of folic acid or placebo. Outcomes were evaluated after 3 years and again about 6 to 8 years later by researchers who didn't know what their patients were taking. Mm-hmm. And 91% of the subjects stayed in the study for the entire 8-year period. So good follow-up in this kind of study. And what they found was real interesting and not what they expected and almost a little alarming, the incidence of at least one advanced colorectal lesion. Now, we're not talking cancer, but more dysplastic-looking lesions, was significantly higher in the folic acid group, 11.6% versus 6.9%. Number needed to harm there is 38 over 8 years. And they were also at higher risk for having 3 or more adenomas, and the number needed to harm there was 18. So in this study, which was a large, well-designed study and good follow-up, they found that folic acid supplementation of 1 milligram a day didn't reduce the risk of adenoma, and in fact, it actually increased the risk of having multiple adenomas or advanced adenomas or advanced colorectal lesions.
Hmm. While folic acid may be helpful in some conditions, it looks like here it's not going to help reduce colorectal cancer.
Yeah, certainly doesn't. And, you know, I think it's kind of tough times for the vitamin crowd. I mean, you're right, there was a lot of interest in folic acid and its effect on homocysteine and, you know, the idea that that might reduce the risk of heart disease. And there were a lot of compelling biochemical reasons to believe that. But when they've actually done randomized trials in patients who've, for example, undergone angioplasty or who are at high risk of heart disease, they have not seen any benefit, and some of them have seen harm from these folic acid and B vitamin cocktails. I think we might have talked earlier about vitamin E and the meta-analysis that found no benefit and possible harm from vitamin E. So, you know, we always have to make sure we look for those POEMS, because even very compelling, interesting observational data or basic science data can mislead us.
Right. I'm not sure that that kind of data is going to make a difference. I suspect that vitamin sales haven't dropped a single iota, and that the folks that are taking vitamins don't believe in the science and the randomized control trials. And but at least, you know, if we continue to tell our patients what works, what doesn't work, and what we just don't have enough information on, you know, hopefully they'll begin to trust us and listen to us and ask us.
We can only hope.
Anyways, thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week. And we'll remind you just one more time. To sign up for the InfoPoEMS course, go to www.infopoemscourse.com. We look forward to seeing you.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.